Again, this is a huge crowd for the 4th of July, so that's awesome. Whether it's one, whether it's 100, whether it's 1,000, we're still going to preach the Word of God. Amen? Hoorah. And I did miss Veterans Day. I really didn't miss it. I mean, we had the time off and everything, but that Sunday, Mr. Ed showed up in his Master Sergeant uniform and didn't recognize the veterans, but for the 4th of July, it's better to, Veterans Day, for the people and their sacrifices that they've done for this nation, whether, what does it say, all gave some, but some gave all. And even the people who did come back, they still have the invisible scars. Some people have scars, some people have disabilities, but other people have invisible scars that you do not see. And we talked about the fireworks and everything going off last night, and some for some people that can trigger their PTSD. And so it's those people that have paid the price that we talk about. That sometimes we, as this generation and the other generations have after war, have not known struggle, life seems pretty easy. After the Second World War, and America was very prosperous, and even a couple generations after that, it was very, very easy for them. And since they've always had it, they kind of take it for granted. They don't realize the sacrifices that this country has made for the world. Go to Europe and you see all the memorials for all the veterans who are buried. And even in the very beginning, I always like the backstories. You always have the backstories as far as what happened to Cornelius after Peter spoke the gospel to him. He took the gospel. Did he take the gospel to Rome? Was he still just there in Israel or Syria for that time? And the people that were with him, his people that he was in charge of, they heard the gospel. Did they take that to Rome as well? Who did they speak to? Philip and the Ethiopian. What happened to Ethiopia when the eunuch, who was in charge of the treasury of Candace, went back to Ethiopia? What happened there? The backstory. The backstory of the Constitution. Do we know that? The last quote that I gave you was from Patrick Henry. Give me liberty or give me death. Five signers of the Constitution were captured by British as traitors and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary Army. Others had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or hardship of the Revolutionary War. They signed and they pledged their lives and their fortunes and their sacred honor. What kind of men were they? 24 were lawyers and jurists. 11 were merchants, 9 were farmers, and large plantation owners. Men of means, well-educated, but they signed the Declaration of Independence knowing full well that the penalty would be death if they were captured. They were committing treason when they signed. Not John Doe. I mean, they signed. I mean, look at John Hancock. He signed. No mistake in that one. Carter Braxton of Virginia was a wealthy planter and a trader. He saw his ship swept away from the sea by British Navy. He sold his house and property to pay his debt and died in rags. Thomas McKean was so hounded by the British that he was forced to move his family almost constantly. He served in Congress without pay, and his family was kept in hiding. His possessions were taken, and poverty was his reward. Vandals or soldiers or both looted the properties of Ellery, Clymer, Hall, Walton, Gwinnett, Hayward, Rutledge, and Middleton. At the Battle of Yorktown, Thomas Neilson Jr. noted that the British General Cornwallis had taken over the Neilson home for his headquarters. The owner quietly urged George Washington to open fire. The home was destroyed, and Neilson died bankrupt. Francis Lewis had his home and his property destroyed. The enemy jailed his wife, and she died within a few months. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside as she was dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives. His field and his gristle mill was weighed to laste. More than a year, he lived in the forest and the caves and returned home to find his wife dead and his children vanished. A few weeks later, he died from exhaustion and a broken heart. Norris and Livingston suffered similar fates. Such were the stories and sacrifices of the American Revolution. They were not wild-eyed, rabble-rousing ruffians. They were soft-spoken men of means and education. They had security, but they valued liberty more. Standing tall and straight, unwavering, they pledged for this support of this declaration with firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Happy 4th of July. They knew what was coming. They knew signing this was treason. And I saw a little post-it that said, it's only treason if you lost. It was still treason. They put their lives on the line for an ideal. Most of them died penniless. And that's a sacrifice that our U.S. Army, our Air Force, Navy, Marines, Coast Guard, Merchant Marine have sacrificed. Their time. And again, not going to judge somebody on their worst day. Plantation owner. Did he have slaves? I don't know. But it was the ideal. It was for freedom's sake. And our freedom. Go to Psalms. Psalms 119. Now the question came up last week. Can you have Raymond go slower? And the answer is sure. So I stop marking my place in the Bible ahead of time so I go and open it right away and say, oh, this is where we're at. Going a little slower. 119:45. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. Again, we talked about this before. Hell was not made for us. We were made for fellowship with God. God created the heavens and the earth. And if you go back to Genesis and you see that and read that on how long it took him to form the earth, form the stars, animals, things that crawl along the ground. And then the time it took him to make man. And it talks about that was the crowning achievement of his creation. And he put in us free will. Free will. We have the right to choose. As a brand new baby, the baby does not know love. It knows that you take care of it and give it nourishment. And it's comforting. But as the baby gets older, they don't know that, but they know after a while they start realizing, this is love, this is love, this is love. Until they become teenagers and they get all mad and grumpy and stomp their foot and want their own way and say that they want to move out. But we are the crowning achievement of creation. And we were made to be free. Galatians 3:22. But the scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner or slave of sin. So that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Have you ever been in chains? Handcuffed? My little brother is a police officer. He loves being a police officer. I can't remember if he's still a police officer now. He should have retired. I think he's been a police officer 30 years. 30 years. He's polite. He'll arrest somebody and they'll say, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, watch your head. And at one time he got in trouble for, he was in court. I love telling me the story. He was in court. And the person he arrested complained to the judge that he was playing Christian music and Christian sermons while he was being taken to jail. And the judge just kind of chuckled and laughed and said, I can't do anything about that. And he tells me that you got two sets of handcuffs. You got the nice one that has the chains in the middle. That's a little nicer. It doesn't pull your shoulders. And you got the real tight ones that are just hooked by a hinge that really hurt. He's cuffed me before just for fun, and I hated it, even just for that few seconds. And being a little brother, I'm thinking he laughed. He's like, I got the key. I have the key to set you free. I can't imagine being chained up. Your ankles, your wrist, even having the waist belt, even sold into slavery. But that's what life is today. What you're obedient to, that's what you're a slave to. If you're obedient to sin, any sin, even your little pet sin, that's your master. You may not like that. You may not think of it that way. But that's your master. That's what rules over you. That's what controls you. Whether it's excessive alcohol. Not alcohol. Wine's pretty good with certain things and certain foods that you eat. But excessive, that you always have to have that. Drugs. Any type of excessive stuff like that rules over you, controls you. And there is nothing that you wouldn't do just to get that next one. You see stories on TV. You may know stories from personal life. You may know people and the struggle. And sometimes it's hard to be sympathetic because we weren't there. And hopefully we don't sit there and say, oh, you can just get off that stuff real easy. You can just give that up. It's difficult. It's controlling. It's binding them with chains. They can't get away from it. And you see the marks. And again, you don't see the marks from the shackles that they're on. It's the invisible scars that are holding them in place. They can't get away. Go a couple pages over to Galatians 5. 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Not the yoke, a yoke. There are many things that draw us away from Christ and make us a slave to sin. Many things. Pastors as well. Go on the subject of, and this is one that affects pastors church people a lot. You can go down the road over here and get your wine or your liquor or your beer. That's free. If you need marijuana, there's dispensaries around here. If you're in pain, there's drugs that you can get from your doctor. Pornography. Very big. It's out there. Before, you'd have to go to certain areas to buy magazines or whatever else, or they'd be delivered. Couldn't hide that from your family because they come in the mail, whoever got the mail. And if you're addicted to it, you'd have to maybe drive a couple counties over to a place to get it so nobody would recognize you. Now it's on the internet. It's everywhere. It's an advertisement. It's on Netflix. It's on Hulu. It's on TV. It's everywhere. And it's a harder addiction for men to quit. Now, a pastor doesn't have to go anywhere. He can just hit his computer and his mouse and click away. What you're addicted to is your master. What you're a slave to is your master. Who is your master? But the neat thing about Christ, the neat thing about God, is that in the beginning, as a child, as a new Christian, just like I said, as a baby, we don't know what that love is. We don't know how to express it. Here's someone giving us nourishment. Here's someone taking care of us. Then after a while, you know what love is. I'm going to skip down here. Verse, again, Galatians. You, my brothers, Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers, were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. You, my brothers, we're part of God's family. And as I read earlier in Romans 6, go to Romans 6 again, what we read earlier. Romans 6, 17. But thanks be to God that though you were used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and become slaves to righteousness. Who is your master? Is it righteousness? Is that who you're obeying now? Or are you still falling back to your secret little sin? Slave to righteousness. And again, it talks about in 1 Peter, the same thing. Do not live as free men. Do not use your freedom to cover up for evil. Live as servants, as slaves of God. Was mad at my stepfather for the longest time. Every once in a while, he's passed, he's dead. And I believe he's in heaven. And at the time, I think when he was growing up, I think his parents had a farm that you had a big family so they can work the farm. When he married my mom, instantly he had a family of 3 boys and 2 girls. And I think he thought, I got free labor here. He did. We did stuff and we complained about it. I probably complained the most. Because your older brother was in charge of you. He was the older, bigger brother, so he was in charge. And I look back and think, well, he did provide for us. He did supply us with food. And as teenage boys, we probably ate more than what we were worth. But now, again, like the generations after the Second World War, they had it easier. I make it easier on my daughters. Do I use them as slave labor? No, that's how I looked at it. Do I use them as laborers? No. I sit there and say, hey, can you come give me a hand? And I try to make the work as easy as possible on them. Is it hard work? Not really. Not what I would think would be hard work. And probably as they get older and they have kids of their own, they might do the same thing. We try to instill a work ethic in our kids to make sure that they're working well, healthy, know how to finish a job, take pride in a job well done. But again, as Christians, the struggle that we face of having God's word here in our hands freely is much easier than what people before us faced. It was death to have even the Bible in English. To have it in your hand. You're not supposed to do that. The Gutenberg press. First press, first Bible, English. Part of the Reformation. We got to get this in the hands of people so they can see what they're being told. And the people, as well, like even with the Constitution, that they sacrificed their lives, the early Christians, to get this Bible into your hand, sacrificed their lives. Sacrificed their prosperity. They were hounded. They were kicked out. They were chased. All with the sentence of death over their head. Same thing with the Constitution. Just a piece of paper. Well, what does it mean? What does it mean to us? The Constitution guarantees us freedom. But freedom to live our lives. And you can live your life however you want and still go to hell. The Bible gives us freedom from hell. To be sons and daughters of God. To be children of God. Go to John. John 8. John 8:31. To the Jews who believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Go down a little bit to 34. And Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent office or no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to the family, to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed." We're free. We belong to God. We're free. We're sons and daughters of God. How great is that? But again, freedom isn't free. Somebody paid the price. We sung earlier about my Redeemer. Who redeemed us? Christ. That's how you used to make money. That's how I used to make money. My kids don't realize that anymore. You used to get the Coke bottles. 5 cents? 5 cents. They were 5 cents, depending on which size. 5 cents, 10 cents. That's where we got our money. Aluminum cans, that's where we got our money from. Cutting grass, that's where we got our money from. Never gave my kids an allowance. Gave them money. I need money. Here's some money. Now that they're working, try to teach them how to save their money. You want something, save money. One of my daughters is very enterprising. The other one's a very good worker. The oldest one, very good worker. The younger one, very enterprising. Story, as we were camping, and she says, "Dad, can I sell your firewood?" Went out there and cut a bunch of firewood. She goes, "Dad, can I sell your firewood?" And I said, sure, you can sell my firewood. But a couple conditions. Number one, I am not delivering it to anybody. And I am not talking to anybody. You want to sell it, you go talk to these people. And if they buy it from you, great. And I get a quarter of everything that you make. I said, because I cut it, I brought it here. So she went out and she sold. And I said, is there something that you want? She says, no, I just want to have some money in my pocket. Feels good. Like, okay. So she went out and she made some pretty good money. Being cute didn't hurt. She went out and she made some money. She delivered it to him. And she comes back. And I said, oh, what do you got? And she showed me. And she had some ones. I mean, this is probably, I think she had like $30. And she goes, here, Dad. Don't go into business with her. Or you make sure you spell it out. She took a quarter and put it in my hand. No. 25% of everything that you make, not a quarter. So she'd give me a quarter of everything that she made. I thought, you little snake. You little rat. That's one of the stories you're just going to keep forever. I mean, you'd never forget that one. Let her keep all the money. I said, you earned it. You did really, really well. I said that because that story was just the greatest. It was wonderful. We're free. How did she make that money? Somebody else cut the wood. How are we free? Someone else paid the price. We're free in this country because of the Constitution. That these pioneers, not just for the short term, but for the long term, sacrificed and prepared to sacrifice everything that they had. The Bible. God sacrificed his son for us to be free. And do not use that freedom to indulge in sin. And now that we're set free, that's our job, is to share the gospel, share who the Redeemer is, so that other people can be set free as well. On our prayer list, we have people for praying for health. And we want those people to be healthy. But what does it profit us that if somebody's healthy and still goes to hell? We need to share the gospel with the people of freedom. Gospel. It's free. But they have to know somebody else paid the price for that. And that's the price that we may pay when we get ostracized, when we get pushed out, that you maybe stop getting invited places because you're a goody two-shoes. No. I just know who redeemed me. And I'm not going to give myself over to be a slave to sin. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. And we become children of God. Happy 4th of July. Every day is a freedom day for us. Every day is Sunday to us. Every day is a worship day to us. Every day is Resurrection Sunday, because that's what we go back to. That's who saved us. We are sons and daughters of God. We are part of the family of God. We are no longer slaves because the Son has set us free. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time that we have here today. Thank you for your message. Thank you for the freedom that we have in your word, not to be slaves again, not to indulge in sin. But to live free to worship you and not to go backwards. Forgive us when we do fall back in that. But that's what we're here for, each other. That's the fellowship that we have with one another. That when one stumbles, the other one's there to help them up. Forgive us again where we fall short. Forgive us again when we are not in your word, that we're not living the life of freedom, but of slaves. We are not meant for that. We were meant for so much more. Thank you for the people who watch this, can be encouraged, knowing that even though it was a day of freedom, physically, spiritually, every day is a day of freedom when we know who our Redeemer is. Father, thank you for the many blessings you give us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.